KLIF News Time, 7:46. The national talk shows have been all over this case, debating affluenza from Tarrant County. It revolves around, of course, 16-year-old Ethan Couch of Keller, who was so drunk that he plowed into four people on rural Burleson Road last June, killed all four of them. His attorneys argue that he was raised in such affluence that he wasn't really taught about consequences for bad actions.
Then when Tarrant County Juvenile Court Judge Gene Boyd sentenced him to 10 years probation and time at an upscale rehab facility in California, the public outrage kicked into high gear. Prosecutors were asking for 20 years behind bars. The June 15th wreck also left two young people injured. They were thrown from the back of Couch's pickup truck at the time of the crash. Now Tarrant County DA Joe Sandin is hoping to pursue those two cases of intoxication assault against the teen and get him some jail time. So does the DA's office have a chance to give us some insight on this case and whether Couch could in fact go to jail after all? We are joined now live by SMU Law Professor Jessica Dixon Weaver. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning.
So what do you think? Does the DA's office have a chance in this case?
I'm not sure that the DA's office does have a chance because the child typically has pled to all the charges that the DA would have brought when they plead true to a charge in juvenile court. And those charges are all considered at the time of disposition. So when the court does give a final ruling, they're considering all the charges that have been brought against the child. It's my understanding that he did plead true to six counts, four counts of intoxicated manslaughter and two counts of intoxicated assault. And maybe the technicality is that the judge in her ruling didn't mention the intoxicated assaults and she only mentioned the manslaughter charges. So it may be that the DA's office is seeking to go back before the court so that she can enter a ruling on the intoxicated assault charges. But if she's already ruled for 10 years probation, or given 10 years probation to him on the more serious charges, it's not likely that she would give jail time on the lesser charges. So at best, you know, perhaps his probation terms might increase or the time, but I wouldn't think that would result in jail time for him.
This kind of puts that judge in a tough position, doesn't it?
Right. And it doesn't seem as though she has, you know, wavered, and obviously she can't waver because she's already entered her final order, at least on the manslaughter charges. And from what I've read, it might be a combination of issues with regard to why she made the ruling. I think, you know, the media has focused on the expert witness and his term, affluenza, but in some cases, judges make calls make decisions based on prior experience with placements for children who have been in, you know, serious situations like this young man. And so if he is unable to be placed at a facility here in the state of Texas or outside of the state of Texas on the state's dime, and it seems as though rehabilitation would be better suited for him in the location or the facility that the defense counsel has presented, then sometimes they will opt for that because they know the child at least will go there and have the opportunity to get rehabilitation as opposed to waiting for a facility to come open around the country or here in Texas.
We're talking to SMU Law Professor Jessica Dixon Weaver. Why wasn't he tried as an adult to begin with?
Well, that's an interesting question and definitely one that I think other DAs around the country, you know, are asking, and perhaps a question that we should ask, because the charges were definitely serious enough, and he was, you know, in a position where he was old enough to be certified, and it's likely, depending on what that hearing would have been like, I'm sure some of the same evidence would have been presented, maybe even more with regard to his parents' background would have come into play, that he could have been certified as an adult, and you know, the whole issue of rehab would have been out the door. It would just, you know, they would be really just considering punishment, which would mean that he would be looking at definite jail time.
I want to go back to this term affluenza for a moment, because it's one of those soundbite terms that occasionally comes out of criminal trials. Johnny Cochran's famous, if the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit, that kind of thing. And it really catches people's imaginations. But there are legal considerations here that most of us are just totally unaware of. And I'm wondering if maybe you can kind of touch on some of that, because what we're hearing when we listen to the talk shows and we discuss this sort of thing with our friends or over the dinner table is, well, this kid got off because he was rich, or this kid got off because he didn't know any better and the judge was too soft and that kind of thing. I feel like we're missing something. What else can you share with us about the legal process in this kind of case?
Well, typically when a child enters a juvenile, they give a psychological assessment, and in this particular case, it would be a full psychological evaluation because of the seriousness of the charges. And so the state psychologist would also be testifying on behalf of the prosecution to say, you know, what their recommendation would be and what his issues are. And if his primary issue is alcohol or substance abuse, and in addition to that, obviously committing several crimes in one night, you know, the recommendation, at least what the judge may perceive to be as the best route for him, might be treatment of that condition. And also take into consideration are his parents and the guidance that he's receiving at home. So I think, you know, the oxymoron in the whole story is that, you know, the very same thing that the expert witness for the defense is saying is his problem, that he hasn't had any consequences because of his wealth, is the reason that he should have consequences now, right? So it would seem as though, you know, this would appall, and this would be the time where he would have some significant consequences. But depending on the terms and conditions of probation, judges can add or take away from what is standard. And, you know, depending on who his probation officer is and how quickly the DA would file, you know, a motion for him to go to jail if he has any violations, which in this case, I'm sure that would be very quick. He may end up in jail anyway, because if, you know, kids can be given a very short leash. And so, you know, terms and conditions of probation include curfew times. They can include, you know, association with different people, obviously drinking and driving. It would probably include some very, you know, minor things for adults, but major things for kids that are possibly difficult for him to do over a 10-year period. So it may be that, you know, in some instances, terms and conditions of probation are sort of, you know, they obviously have to be given, but they can be in some ways setups for the person to be given, hey, here's your chance, here's your olive branch, but, you know, if you violate these in any way, you're going straight to jail. So he may end up there anyway, but he obviously is going to be given the opportunity to at least deal with the substance abuse problem. So I think that may be maybe another issue that probably was highlighted in court that hasn't been highlighted, you know, because of this term effluenza that's been used by the expert witness.
All right.
Thank you so much for your time and your expertise and your opinions. That's SMU law professor Jessica Dixon Weaver.